Well, if you have your Bible this evening, let's turn together to the book of Judges. And Judges chapter 16. And Fred, I've entitled this, Love is Blind. In parenthesis, ing. So, some of you know where we're going. We're in Samson's story. And Samson really was blind in a number of ways, and in the worst way, not just physically, but spiritually. Samson was a man that was one of the judges of Israel. He judged Israel for some 20 years, and yet when we look at his story, we're continuously reminded that he missed what he could have been. You know, there was a line there in Jared's song in the Easter program, How Love Wins. You know, I missed the man that I... How'd it go? I missed the man that I could have been, or what? I lost the man I could have been. Well, that's kind of Samson's story. And, you know, it's just, there's just not a whole lot here that you look at and think, yes, I want my son to be like Samson. But the Bible presents the people of the stories, and it does not clean it up, make it look better than it was. And if anything, that is one of the greatest testaments to the Bible's authenticity. Because probably if we were writing the story of, you know, our story, Tom would mention, you know, well, we'll put something in there about, you know, my good looks. And, you know, and we'd have all the, well, I mean, you know, I'm kidding. Oh, yeah. But the Bible just tells the story, and it just presents the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's just, it's all there. And sometimes it's, in the book of Judges, honestly, it's not a real nice book, and it's not something that we really enjoy seeing or hearing, but yet it's real. And if there's anything today that people need, that we need, but that all people need, it's to know that the Bible is a real book about real people who had real problems, and that God is able to meet us where we are today, and He is able to help us. And we have some benefit over Samson. We have some things that Samson never had. Okay? And primarily, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, if you're saved, the Spirit of God has come to live within you. That's enormous in terms of the power that is available to us. But then more than that, we have the Word of God. And, you know, we have something here. So let's look at Samson, and we're gonna try. I'm going to try not to be too critical of him, because he's just a man. He's just a man. And he's full of flaws, and they stick out all over. But, you know, we're just like him in some ways. So hopefully we can learn from his example. All right, if you found your place, Judges 16, verse 1, would you stand with me if you're able, in honor of the reading of God's Word. Judges 16 and verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart. And said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite from God, from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray Thee, and strengthen me, I pray Thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtel in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and we thank You for the story of Samson. Lord, I pray that we might learn from it. God, I pray that You might help us to have wisdom as we live our lives for You. And I pray that You'd help us to be everything that You have called us to be, everything You want us to be for You, Lord. God, we just give You the praise tonight, the glory, the honor. You alone are worthy. We bow before You. You are our God. And we worship You. We praise You. And we thank You for who You are. And we pray together in the mighty and powerful, the most wonderful name of all, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we see once more here that Samson had a problem. He had an eye problem from the very beginning, from the get-go. He had an eye problem. His eyes kept getting him into trouble because he kept seeing women. And when he'd see a woman, man, the light switch just came on. He was, saw the Philistine woman that he wanted his parents to get for him, and they did, and that turned out badly. And, he didn't just see women. He saw women that weren't good for him. Now, part of this was from the Lord. The Lord was using this as an occasion to get at the Philistines. But I still have to think that if Samson had been focused on leading his people as the judge of Israel instead of his own love life and his own exploits, I think it would have been a vastly different outcome and a much greater victory for the people of God than what little they experienced through Samson. Well, the first part of the chapter here, we have kind of a separate little story of Samson going down to Philistine country again, to Gaza, and saw a woman there. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. And he went in unto her. And the word got out. The word spread that he was there. And you've got to remember, Samson had killed how many Philistines with what weapon? You remember? 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, an ass. And he was feared, and rightfully so. And you know, they knew he was in the house, but they didn't go in after him. They said, well, we'll wait till morning, and then we'll kill him. The only problem with that is that Samson didn't wait till morning. Samson got up in the middle of the night. He got up at midnight. And now, we don't know exactly what happened here, because there's absolutely no nothing given us in the text to help us to understand, but he got up at midnight, and it says he took the doors of the gate of the city. Now, these were not doors like these doors. Although, Brother Wayne, if you and I had to carry these doors any distance, I think we'd probably be feeling like, boy, those are really something, heavy. He took the doors of the gate of the city, built into the wall of the city. Now, the interesting thing about that is the way that they would do that, because the weak point in every fortified city, the weakest point was the gate. And so typically what they would do is they would build maybe a two or even three story building that would be there at the gate. And directly behind the gate, you would have the rooms where the guards were staying or were stationed. You had a lot of protection there because that was the weak point. If an army attacked, they would come and try to knock down that gate. Well, Samson came and he took the very symbol of their security, their gate. You know, how would you feel tonight if you got home and you locked your doors and you set your alarm system and you got all your deadbolts locked, and in the morning you get up and your whole door locks and everything is just gone? Somebody just carried... I mean, how would that make you feel? It'd make you feel like, boy, I don't have any security. And that's what Samson did to those people. He picked up the whole thing. Doors, posts, and everything. And carried them off. Now, it says toward Hebron, toward... let's see how it says that. It says that to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. If he took them all the way to Hebron, that would be 38 to 40 miles uphill. Yeah, I don't know if he... maybe it was a hill that was facing Hebron or toward Hebron. You know, I don't know exactly. I mean, even if he just took them and carried them, you know, a quarter mile, half mile, that's an incredible feat of strength and of daring, because they had set a guard around the house. They had been watching. How did he get out of there? How did he go to the gate and literally steal the gate from under their noses, when no doubt they had guards? I don't know. We're not told if he went up and killed the guards that were there and took the gates. We don't know. We don't know what happened. But regardless, you kind of get a sense that this guy was a wrecking crew. He was something else. And so his legend continues to grow in the kingdoms of Philistia. And they had five lords. And those five lords began to really think, boy, we've got to do something with Samson. He is Philistine public enemy number one. He is the enemy. We've got to find a way to get this guy. And, well, it just so happened, verse 4, we see that Samson loved a woman. Shocker. Could not stay away from him. Now, be careful here, fellas. But he couldn't stay away. He was continually drawn, and he wasn't drawn to the nice, sweet, loving Israeli girl next door. He was drawn to these women. Now, this is the only one of the women in Samson's story that is named. Her name was Delilah. But you know, I've never encountered a little girl named Delilah. You know, there's just some names in Scripture. You typically, you know, you don't find too many Judases wandering around. You know, there's just some names that you don't find too many Jezebels. But you don't find Delilahs, or I haven't at least. There may be some. You may go home and to search and find. But her name was Delilah. Now, Delilah... Saw some different things about the meaning of her name, but one meaning was a longing. A longing. Well, that fit, because Samson saw her and said, "Oh, she's the one for me. I'm in love." And he had it bad. He had it worse than he knew, actually. Well, so we're not given a lot of information, but it's quite possible, given the context and given her character, it's quite possible that she was another prostitute. We don't know that for certain, but he loved this woman, and the word got around. I mean, you know, nothing that happened with Samson was really private and quiet and secret. Everything was publicized. You know, the paparazzi were out in force or whatever. It was constant, and the word got out to the Philistine lords. Well, Samson's got a thing for this woman, Delilah, the Valley of Sorek. And they're looking for a way. They're looking for some way to get to Samson. And so they thought, okay, wonder if she can be bought. Turns out she could. Now, Drayton, here's just a word for you from this story tonight. But when a girl starts asking how you can be bound and tied up and restrained and you can't get free, that's probably not a relationship you want to pursue. Okay? I'm just saying. That's not one that I really recommend. He was in love with Delilah. And maybe he was writing songs about Delilah. You know, we don't know. He was absolutely obsessed with her. And so the lords of the Philistines came. Now, what they did is they offered her a very large sum of money, 1,100 pieces of silver that they each were going to pay. So that's five Philistine lords, and so that's a lot of money. That's an incredible amount of money. It's not just a good amount. It's a whole lot. And it tells us how badly they wanted this guy. They wanted to capture or kill Samson, and they were willing to go to great lengths to do it. He was very dangerous to them. So they talked to her, and she was very willing. She agreed to do this. So notice verse 6. Delilah begins her campaign. Verse 6, Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Now, I can kind of see this one time, you know, but maybe that's a question that comes up. Maybe that's a conversation that you have. But even so, Samson, when he answers, he's not honest. Samson does not tell her the truth. He says, if I'm bound, notice what this says here. If they bind me, verse 7, with seven green withes that were never dried. These are basically bowstrings. To make a bowstring, they would take the tendon of an animal. And so what he's saying is these tendons, before they're dried out, if I'm bound with seven of those, then I'm bound. I can't get out of that. Now, what part of Samson's story does that present a red flag about? He's not supposed to touch the carcass of any animal. He's a Nazarite. He was dedicated as a Nazarite before birth. The angel appeared to his mom and dad and spoke and said he's not to drink wine or grape juice or any fruit of the vineyard in any form. He's not to have any contact with dead bodies. Number 6 tells us the requirements of a Nazarite. And then the final one was he was to allow his hair to grow. He was not to get a haircut. Okay? So, thankfully, Virginia, that thing is kind of past. You don't have to worry too much. Although, you know, they might need some hair fixing, just management, even though they're not cutting it. But, once again, he's flirting with breaking the rules. He's flirting with doing what he's not supposed to do. You know, he did it with when he killed the lion, you remember? And he killed the lion attacked him, so, you know, you, That's fine. But then when he went back, he stopped to look at the lion, and he saw that the bees had come in and they had created honey. And there was honey in the carcass of that lion. And he scooped some out and ate it, took some to his mom and dad, didn't tell them where it came from. Kind of gross. But, he's been playing fast and loose with the rules for a long time. You know, when the Philistines attacked him and the weapon he found, a donkey jawbone. Again, part of an animal carcass. A fresh one. And boy, he, you know, killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Well, so all through this we see that his devotion to the things of God is sadly lacking. He is not focused at all. The only thing he's been able to maintain all this time is his hairdo. That's it. That's all he's got. Everything else, no big deal. Well, so, you know, what happens? The lords of the Philistines bring Delilah 7 green withes, 7 of these bowstrings that she can tie him up with. And she does it. She ties him up and then she says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson. Get up." And he jumps up and breaks those things like they're nothing. And she knows immediately, "Oh, I've been had." Well, so she's not done yet. His strength was not known, it says. Delilah in verse 10 says to Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." Okay, here's where I have a problem. Second time this comes up, you run. I mean, you don't just leave the vicinity. You run from that woman. He's not very bright, is he? But that's the whole thing. You know, love is blind. You ever heard that saying? Well, in this case, it was blind. He was blind. And, but he gives her another story. He says, "Well, if you bind me with new ropes, then I can't do a thing. Weak as a kitten. Can't do a thing. I can't get out." And so she's, okay. Huh. So she gets new ropes, binds him. Says, "Samson, wake up. The Philistines are upon thee." I mean, she had guys ready, waiting. He jumps up, breaks those ropes like they're nothing. She says, "Oh, it's a tough nut to crack." Well, so she tries again. And verse 13. "Hitherto hast thou mocked me and told me lies." I mean, number one, fellas, when it's all about her, that's a red flag right there. Okay? And ladies too. If it's all about him, "You've mocked me. You've told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said to her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." Now, the Hebrew is very obscure here. We don't really know exactly what this means, except that somehow she wove his hair, the 7 locks of his head, into a loom, into a like a fabric, a cloth. And she wove it right in there. And he said, "If you do that, well, I'm sunk. Can't do a thing." And so, once again, she woke him up out of his sleep and said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And it says he went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. I mean, he just took the whole thing. Didn't stop him at all. But he was getting closer to giving up his secret. Before, he'd been talking about ropes and all this stuff, and now he's got to his hair. She's getting to him. And here it really begins. Notice verse 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? It's crazy. Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And then notice verse 16, because here's where it really, this is where the real grind begins. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. She wanted that money bad, y'all. She wanted the money. And so she was going to do whatever she had to do. And she pushed him and prodded him and nagged at him and worked on him until finally he got to the point where he gave his secret away. Verse 17, then he told her all his heart. Bless his heart. There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, my strength will go from me. I will be weak like any other man. Well, this time, she knew. She'd gotten to the bottom of it. She knew she had gained the victory. She could tell that he was broken. She could tell that he was speaking the truth. And so she called the Philistine lords to come up again, and she had the barber come. I can imagine that conversation. I've got a little job for you. What? You want me to do what? I've heard of that guy. That's nuts. No doubt she had to pay him pretty well too. Well, she made him sleep, verse 19, upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now, it wasn't magical because he had long hair. It wasn't a Rapunzel kind of thing. It was simply that he had honored the Lord in this. And God had honored him. And now he has dishonored the Lord. He has given his secret, not just to anyone, but to an enemy of the people of God. More than likely a Philistine girl. We don't really know where she was, her origin or anything like that. But at any rate, she wakes him up again. She says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. The Philistines have come. Wake up. And he got up. And he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, he did not know that God had departed from him. Now that's a very sad moment in the life of Samson. He did not understand that his strength was gone. His power was gone. Because God had turned away. Now, here's the thing. We've talked about this some. But in those days, in the Old Testament times, the Spirit of God came upon people in a temporary manner. It came upon David, or it came upon Samson, or whoever it was, Moses, and equipped them for some task, leading that army, or fighting that battle, or whatever it could be. And then when the thing was done or completed, or God's purpose was done, then the Spirit was removed. It was not permanent. Okay? That has led some people to conclude, you can lose your salvation. And folks, that's simply not the case. Because the Spirit of God, when He comes to indwell us. And He comes to stay. He does not come and go. He is there. But you remember David prayed in the prayer of Psalm 51. Take not thy spirit from me. Well, that was a very real possibility in that time. And Samson was not focused on the Lord. He was not living for the Lord. He was living for what? For himself. He was living for his own pleasure. He was concerned about what he was going to get out of this. And, you know, at this point it was all about a woman. It was all about pleasure. It was all about what he could get here. Well, when he got up and he went out to fight against the Philistines once more, not realizing that God had departed, the Lord was gone, and the Philistines took him. Now, I don't know about you, but that must have been an incredible moment for Samson when, for the first time, he couldn't do what he had always done. The man who had stolen the gates of the city and carried them off. The man who killed 1,000 Philistines in one day with a donkey jawbone. Suddenly, when he puts his hand to begin to fight, suddenly he's grabbed. And they didn't just kill him. They didn't want to just kill him. They wanted to torture him. They wanted to make a public exhibition of him. They wanted to make a spectacle out of him. And so they captured him. And I can only imagine that the last thing he saw was Delilah with those bags of money that she was accumulating and gathering up as the Philistine lords paid her off. And they put his eyes out. That's a tough thing to even think about. But that was often done to kings when the Babylonians came into Israel and took over Israel. And they blinded the king. I think it was Zedekiah, but you can check me on that. Do your fact checking. And you can come back and let me know. But they blinded him and took him to Babylon as a trophy, as a specimen, just to say, this is our victory. This is what we do to our enemies. And that's what the Philistines did to Samson. They blinded him and they put him in prison and they gave him a job. And his job was to grind grain. It was the lowest job given to the lowest slave. And they gave it to Samson. And that's what Samson did in the prison. Now, in the meantime, his hair began to grow back. But more significant than that, when the day came and the Philistines were having a big get-together, a big party, they were drinking and they were making themselves merry with wine and they were having a big party. And they said, you know, this will be a good day to celebrate our victory over Samson. Let's bring him out here and show him off. Let's let him entertain all these people. And so they had him, and we don't know what they had him doing or what exactly was going on, but they had him out there at their temple. And it says that more than 3,000 Philistines on the roof of the temple, watching, observing him, laughing at him, making fun of him, putting him down. Now, notice verse 26. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. And we don't know who the young man who was in charge of Samson was. But he did what Samson requested. There were two pillars upon which the entire structure depended. And they have excavated a Philistine temple that was built along this line with two wooden pillars that were critical to the whole building. And so when Samson came to these pillars, here's what happens. Verse 28. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Well, it's interesting because this is the only prayer that's recorded that Samson ever prayed. Maybe he had a prayer life, we don't know. But this is the only one that's recorded. What if consistently throughout his life Samson had been seeking the Lord? What if he didn't wait until he got himself into a bind and got into trouble and then began to cry out to God? And when he cried out to God here, notice verse 28. He called unto Lord, Yahweh. You notice that's all caps. Lord, that's Yahweh. And then he said, O Lord God. And that's not in caps. He used all three names for God in that one verse, one prayer. I mean, he was crying out to God, to Elohim, to Adonai, to Yahweh. He was crying out to God. I mean, he is suddenly serious about this thing. Well, folks, maybe the message for us tonight is, why do we wait until we're in the throes of despair? Why do we wait until everything is crashing in upon us before we begin to cry out to God and we begin to say, Oh God, help me. God, I need you. You know, there is a day for calling on the Lord. And honestly, it's this day. It's today. It's now. Don't wait until things get bad. Don't wait till everything begins to fall apart. And then, now, you know, at times God still will hear our prayers in those moments. He still answers prayer at times. But folks, I believe He's much more pleased and He's much more able to work in our lives when we're talking to Him consistently, daily, walking with Him. And so, well, Samson cried out. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Now, I've often had people ask, well, do people who commit suicide go to heaven? And it's a tough question, but here's one example of a man who took his own life, who killed himself, and yet he's listed in the roll call of faith in Hebrews 11. You see, that is a sin to take your life. And it's a grievous one. But if your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're saved. And even your own hand cannot take you from His presence. That's what the Bible says. Nothing created is able to remove you from His hand. John chapter 10. Nothing. Not even yourself. If you're truly saved. Now, that's never the answer. Okay? It's never the answer. Yeah, I don't know. That's, O Lord God, remember me, I pray Thee, and strengthen me, I pray Thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. I don't know. I mean, it was the enemies of God, no doubt about that, the enemies of Israel. So, in that sense, I can see it. But his immediate thought was, they have blinded me, they've taken this from me, and I want to destroy them. Well, anyway, regardless, he got a hold of the pillars of that temple upon which the house stood, verse 29. And verse 30, he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. But what? I guess here's my question. What deliverance could God have worked if Samson had been crying out to God and asking for God to work from day one, but even on this day? What might God have done? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Well, his brethren came. His father apparently was deceased by this point. His brethren came, took his body, and buried him. And that's the end of the story of Samson. And it's not a heartwarming story. You know, it just doesn't give us that, but how we need, folks, how we need to learn from Samson's mistakes and his troubles. We need to walk with God. We're called not to be a Nazarite, but we're called to be a Christian. We're called to be literally a little Christ. We're called to follow in the steps of our Savior. We're called to be holy. We're called to be loving. We're called to be people of faith. And I want to encourage you, because battles are won and lost in times and places that we don't think about it. But we're each one this week, we're going to be tested. And that chapter was a chapter of testing. You know, Samson was tested. Delilah was tested. Everybody involved was tested in one way or another. You and I are going to be tested this week. We're going to be tested. Because why? Because the enemy knows your weakness. He knows what, you know, is something that he can use to get at you. And he will. He's good at it. If it's fear, boy, he can incite fear. If it's anger, he knows how to get you wound up. If it's gossip, boy, he can fill your ears and your mind and your heart with stuff you just want to share. If it's lust, he can handle that. We've seen it in this story. Whatever areas of weakness we have, I want to tell you, the enemy is able. He is able. Maybe it's discouragement. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, really. The enemy is able. I want to encourage you to start off your week tonight. Say, oh God, I need you this week. Lord, I don't want to end up being ineffective in what you've given me to do. I don't want to miss out on blessings. I don't want to not be able to serve you like you would like to use me. God, help me this week. Protect me from the evil. Now, that's a great prayer. Ask God to protect you from the attacks of Satan. God's able to do that. He will do that. Let's bow our heads. We're going to take a moment, pray, focus on the Lord. Ask Him to help us. Whatever needs we have tonight. It could be that maybe somebody here would say, you know, I've never truly trusted in Christ as my Savior, and I need to be saved. If that's you, I want to invite you tonight to open up your heart to Jesus. Let Him set you free. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you about that. You come. We're going to have an invitation. You come. Maybe there's a Christian say, you know, I know the devil worked on me this past week, or he's worked on me today, and he's gained a victory in my life in some area. And I don't want that. Well, let's give it to him right now. Let's go to the Lord. Christian, if there are things in your heart you need to take to him, let's do it right now. This altar's here if you want to come and pray. You can make an altar right where you are. That's fine. But let's focus on the Lord Jesus in this moment. And let's focus like this moment is the key moment. This moment is the critical moment of some crisis that's yet to happen. But don't wait for the crisis. Begin now to pray and ask God to meet your needs and to provide for you and protect you and help you. Father, we come before you as your children. And Lord, we need you tonight. Just to do a special work in our hearts, God. Do a sweet work within us, Lord. Prepare us for tests and challenges and struggles and problems that we will encounter this week. God, fill us with Your strength and fill us with Your power. And God, give us faith to believe. And Lord, help us to trust You. Lord, meet us where we are. And wherever our weaknesses lie, oh Father, help us to confess these things to You. God, help us to turn them over to You. Lord, You're able. You are able. So, Father, I pray, meet with us now. Lord, meet with us. Speak to us. We thank You for this.